Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. You there with me? Stand on your feet if that is your custom as we reverence the reading of God's word. I want to pick up the text in verse number 6, but because I am in a church that makes the Bible the center, amen, I need you not to put it away when we finish our reading. Amen. At verse number 6, you'll find these words tucked away for the edification of the church for this particular hour. It says, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat Bakari, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching," "he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted." Amen. That's enough. That's enough. Today I want to talk from the subject, ministry matters. Ministry matters. Third time, ministry matters. Look at your neighbor. Come on, do me a favor. Look at your neighbor like you like him. I owe you one. I owe you one. Come on, look at your neighbor like you like him. Speak to your neighbor like you love him. Say, neighbor, oh neighbor, has ministry been good to you? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Look at your other neighbor. Look at your other neighbor. Say, neighbor, oh neighbor, has ministry been good to you? Look, okay, one more time. Look behind you or in front of you and just tell them, neighbor, oh neighbor, I'm celebrating getting up again. Amen. Long ago, I didn't know nothing about Jesus and his love. I had heard about him, but I never experienced the manner that falls from above. when in this world of sin I can no longer stand, I asked my mother, Mama, how you get to know the man? She said, you must be. Can't you see? Gotta be born again. Long ago, I didn't know nothing about Jesus and his love. I had heard about him, but I've never experienced the manner that falls from above. When in this world of sin, I could no longer stay in, I asked my mother, Mama, how you get to know the man? She said, you must be. Can't you see? You gotta be born again. You must have that firing Holy Ghost, that burning inside that keeps the prayer wheel turning, that kind of religion you cannot conceal. It makes you move, it makes you shout, makes you cry when it's real. Oh, I've got my hand in the winding chain. My soul's been anchored in my Jesus' name. Now I'm filled within, free from sin. I know I've been born again. Yeah. You've got to have that firing Holy Ghost, of that burning, that turning, that keeps the prayer wheel turning, that kind of religion you cannot conceal. It makes you move, it makes you shout, makes you cry when it's real. Oh, I've got my hands in the winding chain. My soul's been anchored in my Jesus' name. Now I'm filled within, free from sin. I know I've been born again. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you, oh God, in this time to give your name praise, simply because not only of what you're going to do, but what you've already done. We thank you, oh God, and we ask now that you hide this, you preach it behind the veil of your cross. Let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you. We'll be careful for every good thing to give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. I want to begin this afternoon, amen, by suggesting just a quick overview of some of that book that is labeled or titled Acts. The book of Acts, often referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I like that last, the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. This book is a very unique literary work included in the New Testament. It records the history of the church, the birth of the church, and history by principle is a recording of those things that did happen for our revisitation. And though there is one main thread, I'm not going to spend time wasting the argument that while there are those who want to label it being the Acts of the Apostles, I know as a Bible scholar that there is one common thread throughout the whole book, and that is the Holy Spirit. But there are two emerging secondary characters. There is Peter, and then there is Paul. It is in the second primary human character of this book, Paul, that we find documented in this historical writing the three missionary journeys from which he undertook. Acts chapter 13 and 14 up to verse 26 record the missionary journey of one, the first missionary journey, the second in Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through after Acts chapter 18 and verse 22 record the second missionary journey. And then the third missionary journey it captures Acts chapter 18, 22 till the 21st chapter of Acts in about the 17th verse. In our text today, if what I said is true, then our text puts us not in the first or the second missionary journey, but in the third missionary journey. And I said that for one reason, because there are some things that come up even after you've been doing them things for a long time that still seem surprising. This is not the first go around. This is not the second go around. This is the third missionary journey. When we come up on Acts 20, they've been added in this missionary journey by intentionally leaving out of the church, establishing believers, setting up churches in other countries and territories, and then coming back. They keep coming back. It's a circle. It's a circle of missions. It's not you going to church on Sunday. It's what you're doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that so hopefully you can bring some folk back on. Oh, y'all not, okay, let me see if I can. It's a missionary journey. Matter of fact, I wonder if I got some missionaries. In our text today, it falls into the third missionary journey. And in fact, Acts chapter 20, in this third missionary journey, is a recovery chapter. From what I like to kind of label some external church issues. Okay, I don't know who I'm going to talk to today, but I know because some folks sneak in and act like you don't have any issues. Chapter 20, actually, if you look at verse 1 of chapter 20, says, and after these things pass, he's talking about the issues that happened in chapter 19. You got to understand a little bit about that to understand why we are where we are. Because in chapter 19, verse 9, it was the investment of ministry and the involvement of ministry where Paul intentionally, watch this, spends time outside of church time to create church people. Ooh. Okay, let me see if I can do that. If you go back and read verses 8, 9, and 10 of chapter 19, you'll discover that if one of the reasons why we minimize church growth now is because we really minimize our investment. We spend more time watching games than we do studying gospel. Chapter 19, Paul actually does this not just on the weekend, but every day he spends time in the Tyrannus lab, literally. And if you look at the Amplified Version, it'll help you because it says that Tyrannus lab, when he has this dialogue with them every day, it generally took place between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. every day. And this he did for 2 years. Now, okay, I know I'm around some folk who know me, and some of y'all know that I just don't don a pulpit robe. I'm actually pretty decent with a fishing pole. And my daddy taught me something that I translated into church language. Because when he took me fishing, even though we're at the lake, he says, a dry line don't catch no fish. Okay, let me see if I come back another way. One of the reasons why he's spending so much time out trying to get the church to come in is because if you're going to grow, you got to do more than go. You got to actually connect and intentionally begin to engage with something that will draw them back in. In other words, if you go out with all the gospel you get from every Sunday from this teaching pastor and all you do is keep a dry line, no wonder. Because my daddy said a dry line don't catch no fish. Well, he's out there. He's spending 5 hours, if I count that right, a day. He's spending all these in the week, 2 years investment. He's getting an impact. And when he's doing that, he's beginning to make some ground. Matter of fact, chapter 19 gives us this involvement, because in this involvement, he becomes so effective that during this time, God will do something. When you make investment, God will give you increase. And when he gives you increase that is substantiated by his power, the infiltration of the power, Paul began to do ministry. He began to do miracles of ministry when he began to be exposed to folk who needed. Somebody said, well, why ain't God doing ministries of miracles? He is. But he don't just do ministries to entertain. He does ministries to equip. And so because he was connected to people who needed, God showed up in an awesome kind of way, and he did some miracles, y'all. He did some miracles so much so that it writes in chapter 19 that Paul's anointing was so strong that they took a handkerchief around, and his handkerchief they took to the sick and shut in. And the sick and shut in start rolling. Now, I don't know if y'all caught it, because church folk sometimes get hard to get excited about, but the folk outside who's sick, those folk who needed a breakthrough, actually got so involved with what was going on that, watch this, that came a role of imitators and duplicators. See, ain't nobody trying to duplicate you if you don't look like you got it going on. The book says that 7 sons of Sceva saw what Paul was pulling off and said, hey, I won't do that. And watch this, because I want to shout somebody early. Don't get disturbed when folk look at you and still can't do what you do. And then don't get twisted when you can't do what somebody else do. Because what God got for you, they tried to duplicate it, imitate it, so much so that when they saw him coming against demonic concepts and them demons leaving, they came out to somebody who's demon-possessed. Now, don't you be Baptist to me and act like you don't believe in demons, because I tell you, some of them came to church. I ain't going to twist their head and spit out no green stuff. No, that's not. You've been watching too much TV. What a demon is the same thing as what an angel. An angel is known by their itinerary. And a demon is known by their intention not to do it. Okay. Because see, the angel was saying, well, every time Pastor said, I'm going to try it. But see, a demon will sit back in that same pew and say, I don't know what he talking about. I ain't trying to do it. I ain't giving that. See how quiet you got? So when they came, the sons of Sceva tried to pull off the imitation. They came to a man that had the demon, and they spoke. They tried to do like Paul did. They said what Paul said. They acted like Paul acted. And the demon had a different kind of conversation. Well, y'all read this? They said, because they came talking about in Jesus' name. They said, ho. We know him. And Paul we know. But who are in hello without the O or U? And the book says that they jumped on him and whipped him till they run. See, it's a bad thing to be calling yourself gotten power and anointing, and here you are running. And when the news got out of the magnificent thing that Paul was doing, the Bible says that it became a contest of practices. Here is the confusion. I got to give it to you. Because, see, there's no way the gospel can go out and folks stay the same. Uh-oh. Let me get here. Because when there's involvement and investment and there's the intervening of God, that's the miracles, watch this, people began to change their itineraries. And the Bible says that when this showdown happened and they understood that you can't imitate it, you got to get the authentic thing, that people who were in this area of Ephesus who were worshiping, according to the King James Version, is Diana. If you look at the translation, it's Artemis. It's the Greek goddess from which a rock meteor fell. And because they saw a rock, and that's what we do when we don't have an answer, we make up something. That's why sometimes instead of letting folk tell your story, you better tell your own, because they'll get it twisted. They came up with a whole God system by which now this certain man by the name of Demetri, not Demetri Ford, who was an iron craft, he began to make images. These are idol images for the Diana. But when people began to see that God don't move you, there's nothing about that God that can change you. That God can't pick you up when you're falling down, put food on your table when you're hungry, can't heal you when you're sick. When they understood that there was nothing to this, the book says that folks started giving up their old practices. Let me tell you what the problem is. Write this down because it's deep. Change means change. Oh, goodness. That was deep, y'all. When changes happen, it's different. Now I've been pastoring long enough to know that some folk don't mind changes as long as they don't have to. But change means change. And if change is conversion and change, watch this, because not everybody's happy that you change. Demetri, in the text, he has some problems because he's the ironsmith, and in the text, he's one of those victims of collateral damage of change. His lucrative profits were connected to their lustful pagan practices. In other words, he made money on them being in ignorance. And when the preaching changed the practice, and the practice affected the purse, then the purse made the preacher have a problem. Well, I'm trying to preach it where you can reach it. So folk don't mind the change until their change gets changed by your changing. When your money is different, when you can't do what you used to do, that's change, y'all. When he looked at it, he had a problem, and he had a problem not because it wasn't true. He had a problem because the truth is invasive, and when the truth becomes invasive and begins to change itineraries, some folk have to walk in the newness of life, which meant, watch this, rather than him finding a new career, he began to creep up on Paul and create issues for the way. Now, this is where chapter 19 comes in, and it says all this stuff happens until some county clerk comes in and say, look, if you look at it, he ain't said nothing. We can take the court because everything Paul's preached, everything that's come out of the disciples have been true. Matter of fact, they ain't said nothing bad against Diana. Watch this. I'm going to go somewhere, because sometimes you ain't got to call out the person wrong if you just spend time talking about what's right. Okay, y'all look like y'all need an application for that one. See, you do know that there's more teams in the NFL than the Dolphins. So if I just say it, I know who ain't going to the Super Bowl. Now, I ain't said nothing. I ain't say Dolphin or Miami. I didn't say none of that. I ain't say Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Buccaneers. I didn't say the Dallas Cowgirls. I mean the Cowboys. I didn't say none of that. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. When you stay on what's true, you ain't got to worry about chasing every lie. Paul was preaching truth. And contrary to popular belief, truth won't always get you friends. Sometimes truth will show you who your fools are. Preach McAdoo, I think I will. Here it is. The text says that in this passage, he comes up to the part
They waited till stuff decreased. That's when chapter 20, in chapter 20, it started to decrease. He's going, now they back on the move again. And then chapter 20, verse number 6, brings up something because it seems to suggest that the first thing that we saw was outside issues of the church. Church got some outside issues. And the surface consideration of the text today I read might raise some questions. Some may cause some to wonder, why does this passage even exist? In fact, we know that there are a considerable number of things left out of the canon of Scripture, so much so that the Apostle John says that if everything were written, this world could not contain it. So some stuff was left out. So if they were leaving out stuff, my question to you is, why is this sleepy story of saints in the sanctuary in the text? Now I don't want to go there, but presupposing that if the person sitting next to you is already sleeping, that might be one of the reasons. But I want to argue something. I believe that this passage, these passages, paint a picture for us of the common, yet sometimes camouflage, but truthful reality of the church. I'm going to say that again. I believe that if properly understood, this story is included because it paints a picture, a portrait of the church in its reality, not in our faith, because we come looking like we ain't been through anything. But you ought to look at your neighbor and say, I just decided not to dress like what I've been through. Here it is. The Bible says in verse number 6 that they sailed from Philippi after Passover. Watch the days. 5 days later, joined in Troas, where they stayed 7 more days. These are days of returning back to ministry. And then what happens is in verse number 7, we began to suggest that it begins to paint this picture of the called out church. And that's why I said called out church. I told you the problem in the first chapter 19 of what was going on outside the church. Let's find out what's happening in the church. Because on the first day of the week, text says, verse number 7, when we were assembled together to break bread, the Lord's Supper, Paul discoursed with them, intending to leave them on the next morning. He kept on with his message until midnight. Now, they're on the first day. The Bible identifies first days, two things are going on, the Lord's Supper and a long sermon. That's what your Bible says. Right? Two things going on. The Lord's Supper, first day of the week, and they say the first night of the week. And I'm trying to get you to see the time and day. I don't know if it was 11 o'clock service, but it was daytime. And they kept this going on till midnight. Ooh, you looking at me like, don't you try it. Okay, look at the passage. Look at the passage. Passage. Two things. The text says it's the Lord's Supper and a long sermon. Paul, King James Version, preaches. That's what it says, King James Version. The Amplified Version says he's having a discourse. The Amplified Version said discourse. That the New American Standard Bible, the New International Bible, the Bible in Basic English, the English Standard Version, the World English Bible says he taught. That must be some of my folk. Because I came up from a place that if you didn't hoop it, he just had a good talk. The word used here is dilegomai. It's, and I'm accenting for a reason. Dia, if you want to look at the prepositional. But the word, he's dealing with, he's having, according to the translation, an exhortation or explanation with disputation. Okay, let me see if I can make that make sense. The text says here that there was dialogue, not monologue. I'm trying to see if we gonna have dialogue or am I gonna have monologue? Okay, if you ain't saying amen, it's monologue. But I will give you the secret. The more faster you say amen, the faster I say benediction. Paul is having dialogue, and the reason why it's long is because obviously what's left in the text is that there is engagement. You ever notice how long church is? And it's longer the more you're not engaged. But whenever you engage, how time don't mean so much. Because you had the game, all game, overtime. Not here. Okay, and that don't seem long. A movie. I went to see them. Y'all look like, I still see movies. And I remember The Lord of the Rings, 1, 2, and 3. Holler at me if you know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, I get the person next to you to interpret my speaking in tongue. Each one of those versions were 3 hours. And nobody fell asleep. We go and clock in on the jobs for 8 hours. You still working? You didn't fall asleep. So tell me why. I only been preaching now about 25 minutes and some of you already dozing. Well, Pastor, it's the medicine. It didn't work on yesterday. It didn't work at the game. It didn't work at the club. Preach, McAdoo, but it's working in, okay. The text says they're dialoguing, but it gives this description. I'm still on the porch, y'all. I ain't in the house yet. Watch this. Because in verse number 8, it gives a description. Only reason verse 8 is that it let us know the atmosphere of the area that they are assembled. It says in verse 8, it says that the place was well lit upper room. Okay. Y'all need to keep tabbed on that. It's because I can understand if you get sleepy because it get dark. But it's well lit. And the Bible says here in verse 9, here's what I wanted to get to. This is what I've been driving toward. This is where the picture takes on another level. This is where the passage becomes a self-portrait of present time praisers. Here we have a worshiper in the window at worship time. Worshiper in worship at the window. Out of all places, this worshiper at worship is at the window. Okay. There's a problem right here with me. Because the window would be the place like the door. I mean, you're just barely in if you're worshiping at the window. That might be the problem. Because here in a window, propped and positioned where perception should be a privilege, might cause some folk a problem. Because from his vantage point at the window during worship, he could see what's going on in the street and in the sanctuary. Okay, y'all not catching me. Let me see if I can preach it like he kind of nosy. He ain't in the street, but neither is he in the church. He's there, but he can see the preacher pivot and see the pimp. He can see the deacon. And then he can look on the other side and see the drunk. He can see the trusty and the trickster. The singer and the slut. He can see the witnessers and the winos. The prayers and the players. He could see the confessors and the cursors, the givers and the robbers. He can see both perspectives, and he's in between two worlds. Here's my problem in the passage. It might be why some of us come to church and look like somebody made us come. It seems like we the only folk that get it twisted. I go to the clubber. I see clubbers. They clubbing. I go to the diner. I see folk eating. They eating. The church is the only place where you see praises come but go to sleep. The Bible says, watch this. The Bible simply says, he's sitting. Y'all see him? He's slumping, which means he's getting more comfortable. And now he's sleeping. And verse 9 says, it concludes by saying, get so comfortable in his sitting, slumping, and sleeping. Come on, hunch your neighbor, say, don't go to sleep yet. It's still church time. Don't go. That he falls from the window dead. Okay, y'all didn't catch the picture, so I'll start all over. I believe what we see in verse 9 is a factual portrait of the church. Let me see if I can make it real. Because here is the fact. Folk don't just fall outside the church. Some folk fall while in the church. I'm by myself, but I'm going to tell you, don't get it twisted. Don't you think just because folk look churchy that there's no potential to fall? Oh, I'm going to have to walk down the avenue to show you. Because if you push somebody with all the church stuff they got on, you know, you heard it. That lyric don't just work out in the street. Don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I mean, you next to somebody right now that will pray for you and cuss you out at the same time. Because failure still happens at the church. Now watch this, because I'm driving somewhere. It is facts here in the passage that here's where we get real. Somebody say, keep it real. Part of the problem that has allowed some folk to scrutinize the church is when the church comes to here faking like we don't fall. I want to suggest that this Eutychus is not the only person that falls in the house. And the reason why I'm using this as a backdrop for pastor's appreciation is because, watch this, the reason why some of us can't appreciate where we've come is because we've got an amnesia of what we've been through. Because you would not have fallen, gotten back up, and then act like you ain't been through something. The text suggests that when he fell, watch this. The Bible says you see the failure. Y'all see the failure? Watch the fix. Because Paul, who's preaching, sees the boy who's fallen. And the people said he's dead. I'm so glad that Paul didn't take people's opinion not to do ministry, because ministry actually operates on multi-level. From what Paul was doing in the dialogue was the announcement of the gospel. Watch this. One of the things that's more powerful than the announcement of the gospel is the application of it. When Paul left the pulpit and came to the boy, now he's going to apply what he's been preaching. Y'all not catching this, so let me see if I can do it. The text says this in verse number 10, that when Paul got there, he laid on the boy. I'm saying, wait a minute, a person who's fallen, you going to fall on them? But then the Lord showed me something. He showed me the terminology for glory. Can you shout glory? Because glory is doxa in Greek, and glory doxa in Greek literally means to go through that part or practice by which we create a reflection by weight. You know, if you ever been in the kitchen and you're trying to make some cookies with a cookie cutter, you just can't let it glide through. You got to put your weight on it. So when Paul left the pulpit and he fell on the boy, what he was doing, Dimitri, is he was coming and putting his weight on the boy. He was literally impressing on the boy the instructions from how we speak. Because see, some of us don't hear it on the easy platform. We got to go through some failure before we began to see the power of a grace that can pick you. I wonder if I've got a witness in here. You don't know how he can make ways for you that no man can close. He can close some doors that no man can open. He'll be a doctor that has never lost a patient until you have a problem where the doctors have raised their hands and said, we've done all that we can do, but the problem took you to call on a man. And when you called on him right, he came and became your doctor in a sick room. And now you know, because of what you went through, that you can say glory to his name. Pastor suggests that he falls on him and he said, y'all don't worry. Listen, the Zoe, the life, is still in him. Correct contextual interpretation has to have you to admit something. Because here's why a lot of folk are silent. Because if you don't admit to the problem, you don't have ammunition for the praise. They said he was dead. I believe he was. But when Paul finished, he said he's alive again. Y'all didn't catch it, so let me see if I can bring it back one more time. When Paul put his weight up on him and then announced that there had been a change, simply because now he's applied what he's been announcing, because there are times that you got to learn how to trust in God. There are times you got to put all your confidence in his competence. There are times you got to be able to turn it over to God and watch God work it out. Here's what I'm saying. There's been somebody I know in the pew that you've had a situation go in your life, and what you wanted was a magical solution. But when you called on your pastor and Reverend Ford came to you, all he did was lean on you and repeated what he's been teaching all along, which meant he put his weight on the principle of God. And now sometimes you got to be able to stand on the promises of God and say, if God can't fix it, it can't get fixed. And at the end of the day, the text says that he's living again. Okay, so wait a minute. We see the fall. We see the fix. But can I show you the follow through? And I'm through. I'm out. I'm in. I'm in like Flynn. I'm gone. Okay. Yeah, stick and fork in it. That's done. The text says that when the fix was done, notice that he leaves ministry to do ministry, but he don't leave forever. He turns right back to ministry, because in verses 10 and 11, here's what it says in your Bible, King James Version. And Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, I mean, soon as he finished with the boy, he didn't give the benediction. Y'all missed it again. The book says, and when he came up again, he had broken bread. Wait a minute, that's what he was doing before the boy failed. Until then talked a long while, text says, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were looking comfort. Let me give you clothes, and here it is. First thing that you see that needs to happen in the passage is for us to understand the power of preaching. The reason why Paul went back, because I believe it was the application of what he'd been announcing all the time that gave the anointing for a resurrection. You don't understand what I just said. If you don't get the word, sometimes that's what you miss. That's why you get the text messages and all the stuff doing the word. You don't get it no other, because the devil knows that if you get the word, you now got what you need. You got the ammunition to get up again. You got power to reverse a curse and change death back to life. So Paul goes back to preaching. Somebody say, preach, pastor. Secondly, not only did he preach, but the text says he went to breaking bread. Here's one of the most missed things we missed in our church. Because some of us think we got communion because you got some bread and some Welch's grape juice. Koinonia Fellowship communion means partnership. It is the part of God's plan by which we participate with God and we put our hands in it. Oh, okay, watch this. There are too many spectators. And what communion does is brings us back into the level of some participation, some buy-in. And I'm going to tell you why it's important. Can I tell you why it's important? Because remember, what caused him to fall asleep is he wouldn't engage where everybody else was engaged. So when you participate, not only does it give you a buy-in in terms of attention, but there's something else. When you participate, it also gives you a reference to remember. Ooh, okay, listen. I wondered why sometimes when God was getting ready to do a miracle, like when Christ was getting ready to feed the 5,000, he looked at the disciples, he said, how much you got? Okay, I'll try this out. Sometimes God wants you to count how much you got when you start, so you'll know how much you got when you finish. And when you know how much you got when you finish, you know it wasn't you. And when you know it ain't you, you ain't got to have a praise team or a preacher singing your best song. No, you start knowing if it had not been for the Lord on my side, because now you have participation. You saw what he was working with, and now you got the wherewithal to be able to give God praise. And if you have to praise God all by yourself, it's okay. It's cool in the game, because you know if it had not been for him. Watch it. Because he now calls him not only to preach, but to continue to participate. Now watch this, because in participation, here's the third P. Tell the neighbor, here's the third P. It brings up you to the position to properly perceive. Here's the problem again in church. Sometimes we look at folks and say, why aren't you shouting? Well, they may not be shouting for you because they don't know what you've been through. But when you got power to perceive, when you can see, oh, y'all want me to show you in the text? Because here it is in the text. I ain't making it up, I promise. I'm in Bible territory. I know Pastor Ford preached word, so I came with word. Watch this. The text says, when he was come up again, broken bread, he talked a long while, he kept on preaching, even till the break of day, so he departed. Here it is. It's in verse 12. And they brought the young man alive. In other words, watch this. And they brought the young man, in other words, why? They that saw him fall, they that saw him die, but those that saw him get up again, they brought, because when you got perception, when you can understand what the power of God can do in somebody's life, you ain't got to sit there like you don't know what's going on. Here's what happened, because they could see a change has happened in somebody's life. That's why I'm suggesting to you that ministry really matters, because when ministry has affected the mess in your life and in my life and has made us, given us a new step. Is there anybody here? No, you could have been there sleeping in your grave, but what happened was grace stepped right in when death had his way. If you couldn't have made it back, but God made ways out of no way, it was that power that you now understand that if it had not been. And so when they saw it, the Bible says that when they saw it, when they saw this young man who used to be dead, when they saw this young man that used to be broken, when they saw this young man that had a fallen experience, but now he's no longer in a fallen state. I'm wondering today, as I'm trying to preach this little message, how many of you are glad that you're not where you used to be? Because when you look back over your life and see where the Lord has brought you from, you know what a wonderful God it is that we serve. Didn't he work it out in your life? If I had my old school church, they said, didn't he work it out? I tried the habits that I had, I could not seem to solve. But I tried, and the more I tried, the deeper I got involved. But I turned it over to Jesus, and I stopped worrying about it. I turned it over to the Lord, and he worked it out. If I had my old school, I jumped to the cross and asked you to look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor as you give him high five, didn't he work it out? I said, didn't he work it out?
that trouble that you had, didn't he work it out? That's what happened when they lifted the little boy up. They had a sign that God's gospel is still glorious. They had a sign that ministry matters. It means no matter how bad of the shape you're in, when you come to God, tore up from the floor up, all you got to do is stretch your hands unto God and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou should withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? And I'm glad to announce. I said, I'm glad to announce. I said, I'm glad to announce that he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. I came to God just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. If you know that God has worked miracles in your life, if you know God has used miracles of ministry to make you better, why don't you stand on your feet, tell your neighbor, yes, God did it. I'm here to testify because I put my trust in him. I came because all my hope is on him. All my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And he all right. I said, and he all right. Yeah. So if you get, watch this, if you get the preaching and the partnership, if you get some perception, ain't nothing in this world can stop you from getting your praise. I only came to serve one notice, because I know the devil and some of his imps say, why y'all have a pastor's appreciation? Well, you don't know the mess I used to be in. Is there anybody here that admit that it's through the messages your mess began managed? And he picked you up. Where my ex dead folk? Y'all gonna make me call a list in here, because where my ex cussers, ex clubbers, ex whoremongers, ex-liars. Oh, okay. Here's what I want to do, and I'm through. I want to let you know, ain't no shame in being able to celebrate pastor's appreciation, because God gave you a man after his own heart, because he knew without the message, we still be in a mess. Anybody here ever had a cavity? Come on, smile at me. I see. Come on, just smile at me. Okay, you ever had a cavity? You ever had high blood pressure, need to be treated, or low blood pressure, or something else? How many of you went through a medical issue that saved your life, and then you complain about paying the doctor? Okay, it went right over. Man, I tell you what, when I consider how good ministry has been to me, I ain't talking about just preaching, because I was saved before I was preaching. Amen. And I'm not preaching to be saved. Y'all not even catching it. I'm preaching because I am saved. And if God can be that good to me, I'm just trying to say extra, read all about it. Come to a God that's able to take whatever you've done. Even if you've fallen from a third story window, peeping in the window during worship service, God is the answer for your deliverance.